There was a lot of non-success. I rolled pretzels at Annie Ann's, stocked milk. I think I had more money in my gas tank than in my bank account. I had one buddy, slept in his closet. You know, I had a minivan. And then I slept in that for a little bit. But you're just doing it to try and figure out things.
You were working for MTV in college.
Yeah.
And got arrested in Minneapolis.
They shot tear gas at us, those flashbang grenades all day, you know. I mastered this move. I'd drive up to DC. I had to work like the next morning. There's this Holiday Inn. You sleep in the parking lot. Then you go in the hotel in the morning, free continental breakfast. And then you look around, you see if anyone left a key on the table. Sometimes they did. You use that key, get into the fitness center, take a pool shower. It's good. That's living right there.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and welcome back to Milwaukee Uncut, sponsored by Central Standard Distillery, produced by Storymark Studios, and in partnership with On Milwaukee. Very special episode today with comedian Charlie Behrens. We get into some fun, lighthearted, fan-submitted questions, so if you're wondering where to find a cougar in Milwaukee, what Charlie's top supper clubs in Wisconsin are, if he'd fight the Milverine, his favorite cities in the Midwest, the best Wisconsin marriage proposals he's ever seen, and we dive into some Wisconsin trivia and plenty more fan-submitted questions. You're not going to want to miss this. But before we get to that, we learn about Charlie's backstory, which I didn't know anything about. And he had quite the journey from when he started to his first viral Manitowoc Minute moment when he was at age 30, which is when most of us became familiar with him. So it's a great episode. And before we dive in, I do want to thank him for stopping on. It was when he was between appearances. He was nice enough to come down to the studio for an hour plus. And one of those appearances was for Feeding America, where he's helping raise money to provide meals to those in need for this holiday season. We just made a donation. You can too. Every dollar donated buys four healthy meals for those in need in the area. So we've linked that in the show notes if you feel up for helping others. So thanks again for listening to this episode of Milwaukee Uncut, and I hope you and your family have a great holiday season. Now let's dive into today's episode with Charlie Behrens. I've got a Wisconsin legend here with us today.
Oh, geez. You know, that's very kind. Definitely not a legend, you know.
I think you could probably already tell who he is. Host of Manitowoc Minute, the Bellied Up Podcast, the Cripes Cast, Milwaukee area native, Marquette University High School graduate, and UW.
And UW, yeah. Got the whole deal.
Whole deal. Former violin woodworker, bicycle mechanic, flower picker. I did some of my homework.
I rolled pretzels at Annie Ann's.
Forgot about that one in the intro. At Mayfair?
Yeah. Stocked milk at a grocery store. I had a lot of weird jobs.
And look how far he's come. Also, one of 12 siblings. First off, so your first Manitowoc Minute video was released in 2017.
Yeah.
Went very viral, but there was a gap of 8 years after you graduated from UW, and since that really popped off, you worked for several networks. What was that period like from graduating till actually getting that first big break?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was probably, there was a lot of non-success going on there. I mean, at first graduate, I worked on a film as like a PA for a little bit, you know, getting coffee and like sorting out walkie-talkies, you know, that kind of thing. And then I, after that, on my drive home from that was in Ann Arbor. It's this film, Cedar Rapids, I was working on. It was written by another Wisconsinite, Phil Johnston. He's from Nina, so good guy. But anyway, on my ride home,
Cedar Rapids?
Yeah.
With Ed Helms?
Yeah, yeah.
You worked on that?
Yeah, I was a pool boy. Very out of focus, but I was a pool boy.
You were in that movie?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any lines. I was out of focus. If you blinked, you would have missed me. But it's like when Ed's walking in, he's like, they even got a pool here. And then wide shot of me in the deal. So
you had to continue working after that. You didn't get the windfall from Cedar Rapids.
You know, you would think, but no.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was living with my aunt and uncle's basement in Michigan while I was shooting that. You know, I had to work as a local to try and, I don't know, they had the tax credits thing or whatever. So I was doing that, and then you make some money, but I had bills to pay, so I quickly need another job. Those gigs are only 3 months. Luckily, on my way back, I got a call to be a PA at this production company in Los Angeles that did like behind the scenes, you know, and it was just a job. There weren't a lot of jobs. I was kind of in the recession era. And so I just, it was that or go back to like being a bike mechanic. So I headed out to LA, and I remember I got there. I think I had more money in my gas tank than in my bank account then. So I kind of, you know, I had one buddy, Josh Burstein, slept in his closet, but he had a real nice closet. It was like a big closet, you know, and he had a mattress in there, so that was good. Or his couch, or, you know, I had a minivan that I accidentally shot with my dad's shotgun, so he made me buy it. And so that's probably why I didn't have any money. And then I slept in that for a little bit. You know, it was kind of just like in Los Angeles at that time, you were just kind of working for not a lot of money. And but you're just doing it to try and figure out the thing. So I would and I think it was good I wasn't making a lot of money, because then I would stay late. Because I had the minivan, I was able to take the lights and the cameras and stuff to different shoots. And then I would bring them back to the office. And then I would set them up and shoot a reel, which was kind of like a comedy news type thing. You know, I was very inspired by Jon Stewart back in that day. And I wanted to do I went to school for journalism. So I wanted to do a mix of comedy and news. They had hosting positions. Got this job in South Carolina called 1 Minute News, which was this YouTube news organization. And so I started working for them. And then 3 months later, you know, my salary got cut in half because we just ran out of money, because it just weird economics.
So you could live off of your salary for about 3 months.
About 3 months. Yeah. And then I got another job. And then I was kind of working in D.C. and South Carolina at that point. And I mastered this move, dude, where, you know, I'd drive up to D.C. I had to work like the next morning, but I had to work the other gig. So I like, there's this Holiday Inn. You sleep in the parking lot, and then you go in the hotel in the morning, free continental breakfast. And then you look around, you see if anyone left a key on the table. Sometimes they did. You use that key, get into the fitness center, take a pool shower. It's good. That's living right there, you know?
How old are you at that point?
Old enough to afford something else. But no, I don't know. I was 25, 24, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Manitowoc Minute, you were back in LA when that happened. How did that come about?
Well, after South Carolina / DC, I went to Dallas and worked at a kind of in traditional news. And then I just, that gig did not really go that great toward the end. And so I moved out to LA. The news organization went in a different direction where they weren't having anchors at all. So I moved out to LA, and then I just, cause I knew people out there and I wanted to do something and I didn't know where else to go. So I went there and, I got a job eventually doing a few different news gigs, doing some red carpet reporting, which I hated. I did not care. I didn't know who anyone I was talking to was.
And you talked to some big names. Yeah. I like went back in your old YouTube stuff when I was doing my homework.
Dear Lord.
You talked to like Selena Gomez and some of those people.
Talked to Selena Gomez, Fifth Harmony. Who else? Johnny Depp, I think.
You didn't really enjoy doing that though.
Well, it's not that I didn't enjoy it, but a red carpet, it's like, it's one of those things where like, the celebrities don't really want to be there. They're doing the promotion, you know, and I, if I'm being honest, didn't want to be there because I don't really care that much about what any, you know, what a lot of, I don't care about their latest film, you know, especially if it, I didn't have the passion, you know, and I think that's why I was realizing. And again, that's, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them or anything wrong with their stuff. I mean, they make great stuff, but I just didn't want to spending a lot of time researching things that I wasn't passionate about. You know, I do a podcast now and I'm passionate about like the topics or the people and I enjoy that. But I was just doing things, I just needed money, you know? And so to kind of keep my sanity, I started doing stand-up at night And I was doing this other producer gig at the time, and I was like, I'm gonna start making a video a week until something pops off. And so I was doing videos. I did If Jack Dawson Was Really From Wisconsin, where I changed the voice. And that video did well, but people didn't like follow me from it because it was just like a voice. It wasn't really my face. So I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I do something that people will care enough to follow me? Because if I could get people to follow me, then I could get people to come see me do stand-up, you know? And I was doing stand-up at night, and there was this bit that I had about, you know, my time in local news where, you know, I had two jobs where, you know, I got maybe more than that, but my Wisconsin accent always came out and was always kind of an issue. I would say some words wrong. I would get made fun of for it, you know? And so I developed this character based off my time in local news, you know, where instead of doing everything people said I was doing wrong and changing it, I just doubled down on it. And that was the basis for the Manitowoc Minute. And so, yeah, there was this one show I did at the Comedy Store where it just murdered. It did really good. And I was like, oh, that felt so great. But I remember going to bed that night thinking, man, only 50 people saw that. You know, like how, and I was working at the Comedy Store. I was like, I was doing the DJ thing. Like I was basically playing the walk-up music for everybody just to get like 5 minutes, 10 minutes on stage. Or I was doing these bringer shows where you basically, you would make your friends pay to come, you know? And I always bought the tickets and gave them away to them to make it easier. But then, you know, a lot of times they still didn't come, you know, because if you got to go to Hollywood in the, you know, on a Wednesday night or some traffic sucks and you got to pay for parking, it's still a pain. So anyway, I was doing that. And when that murdered, I was like, cool. But then I'm thinking like my next show's like a week and a half out, you know, I wish I could do something in the meantime. So I made that first Manitowoc Minute. And then that took off, and that's when things really changed.
You had a guy in the audience from Manitowoc during that one, right?
Yeah, I said, is anyone from the Midwest? Bunch of people raised their hands. I said, is anyone from Wisconsin? This one guy's got his hand up. He's from Manitowoc. So he's who I named the Manitowoc Minute after.
What was it like? Did it just fire off right after you posted it?
Yeah.
And were you like, holy shit, this is actually happening?
I was for it. I almost didn't put it out initially because I thought people would think, you know, I was making fun of them, which I was, but I was making fun of me, you know? I mean, I was literally making fun of myself. So I figured, yeah, if anyone's got an issue, like, you know, I've lost enough jobs from this thing, you know? So, but it was really, truly behind that, just embracing, you know? And that's the thing about, that's a great thing about comedy is, we've all got these imperfections, and most of our lives we spend hiding them. But comedy is a thing where you can double down on your imperfections and, you know, kind of reveal the humanity in it. And that's what I like about that art form.
Yeah. So you're like 30 at this point, right?
30, yeah.
Were you close to throwing in the towel on comedy or just trying to get into that industry? Or where were you in life? Because you're still just struggling along.
Yeah.
Trying to get your friend, paying for tickets to try and get your friends to show up, scraping by.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, I had a decent producer job. So,
okay.
But I was still kidding myself into thinking I was doing what I wanted to do. You know, I was always working. You know what? I was always working on something else. I was working on scripts. I was working on something in my free time. You know, I've been a workaholic since I was a kid. So I just kept going. And it took off, and I knew because I put up enough videos that I spent hours and hours editing that did not take off. I think I needed to do that, so I knew the opportunity I had when this one did take off, you know.
And then you just kept it going week after week after week.
Yep. And so that was the Manitowoc Minute, and then eventually you see numbers go up and then they plateau. Like people have seen it, they get it. So then you got to find something else. And it's always that series of things go up, they plateau, you got to find something else. You got to dig deeper, find something people haven't seen, surprise people, you know, inspire yourself creatively too.
Was it weird at all, or what did it feel like all of a sudden you're kind of just working, trying to get by and make it in LA, and then you ironically become like a Wisconsin folk hero where you're from, and you're doing Roll Out the Barrel at the Packer games and all this all this stuff, which is probably like a dream for you as a kid, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it was something I could have never imagined as a kid. I mean, the system at play did not really exist until social media became a leveling playing field for if you wanted to make it, you can do it on your own. You can do what you're doing. You do your own thing, you know? And that was so cool. That was so cool. And so I was in a place where, you know, every birthday you have, you're like, I'm this old and I haven't done this X, Y, and Z. That kind of went away of caring how old I was and caring how much I had accomplished once I got to a place where I felt like I'm doing what I love, you know? And things just changed in my life, you know? But, you know, you still go through things with that where you find yourself too many days, you're doing things you don't necessarily want to do or enjoy. And you kind of always have to keep yourself in check and keep saying, do I want to be doing X, Y, and Z? And what is the reason I'm doing it for? You know, I could have never imagined it, but I'm super happy and thankful that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. We'll move on to some more lighthearted things.
Yeah, but whatever.
I mean, congrats on all you've done. It's been cool to watch too as a fan and appreciate you coming down today.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I really appreciate that. And honestly, like I couldn't do any of this without the humor of Wisconsin. You know, like a lot of the stuff I'm doing is taking things that is just observing the way people act and whatever. And honestly, I based a lot of it off my grandpa, you know, and then you realize other people will have that same observation. So I couldn't do it without, you know, the people watching by a long shot. So
yeah,
thanks to everybody out there, you know.
Yeah. One thing we glossed over. So you were working for MTV in college.
Yeah.
And got arrested in Minneapolis. I thought that was an interesting welcome to journalism.
Yeah, I know. Freedom of the press.
What happened?
Well, I was covering the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis 2008. And I mean, you know, it was protests. This was before a lot of the protests that a lot of people remember, but this was before the Occupy Wall Street movement, but you saw sort of the beginnings of that. And it was just a bunch of people, a bunch of different causes. People protest every Republican and Democrat convention. It's just part of what happens. But on this particular day, my job was to cover the protests. So I was out there doing it. I was actually supposed to be on the convention floor that night in there reporting because Sarah Palin, I think, was doing a speech that night. But I was still covering the protest. But then eventually, I remember there were police surrounding us or they were blocking off this one bridge. And I was with this reporter from the Boston Globe. And I turn around. I'm like, all right, I enough's enough. You know, like they shot tear gas at us, those flashbang grenades all day, you know. This horse, police on a horse accidentally run over someone, you know, I think they were fine. I don't know. But it was just a pain in the ass, you know, and people were lighting cars on fire and all this and that. And it had been days of covering protests and stuff. So you're kind of like, all right, I get what's going on here. But then as we turned to leave, there was a line of, cops standing there and I was like, what do we do now? He's like, well, we get arrested now. So everyone sat down and the police came over and, you know, they looked at our credentials and people were making fake credentials. So they just arrested everyone. They arrested a taxi driver who was just stuck in traffic, you know. But that taxi driver, I tell you what, he's a good guy because I traded him half my peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the Slammer, and he gave me a ride back to Dinky Town after.
They cuff you and take you in?
Yeah. Yeah, they cuffed you, put you in a bus, the whole deal. Not real cuffs, though. Zip ties.
Zip tie?
Yeah.
How scary was that?
I wasn't.
Are you all right?
I was fine. I didn't care. It wasn't scary. I don't remember that being scary. I was just like, oh, how am I going to pay for this? You know, that's what I was thinking. And then you're looking, I remember seeing the big jumbotron, Sarah Palin speaking on the thing. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to make that whole deal. But yeah, and then we went to jail for a little bit, hung out there, got my fingerprint taken, my picture, and yeah, made some friends with the taxi driver. Went to Dinky Town later that morning, had some breakfast. Not the worst thing in the world.
So you got to say you were arrested.
Yeah, sure. We can look at it like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's so we usually do a segment called the Standard Five, which is five-ish quick questions sponsored by Central Standard, but we have like 20, maybe 30. If you include trivia.
Yeah. Shout out to Evan and Pat over at Central Standard. Good guys, you know.
Very good guys. You're drinking an old fashioned right now. How is that? Bree made it.
Bree, thank you. You did a wonderful job on this brandy old fashioned. It's delicious. Thank you. No, I'm not. I would never just say that. What's that? I'd rate this. I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
9 out of 10. Because I can't give you a full 10. Then you'll know I'm just, you know, full of it. But no, it's a 9 out of 10. Yeah. You did this professionally for a while.
Yeah, I did muddle it.
You did muddle it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can taste that. And you didn't muddle the rind, which is fantastic.
I don't know if we want to admit this. We did watch your video instructional. We wanted to make a good one for you. We got some blackberry brandy from Central Standard in one thing.
That's awesome. That's good stuff, man. It's really good.
We did not know what we were doing.
I love it. You did a heck of a job.
And I'm drinking the Ready Pour Cherry Mule.
There you go. That'll get you going.
Very good. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's dive in. Sorry, I've been a little under the weather, and I'm sure this Cherry Mule's helping me. On the Bellied Up podcast recently, you somehow ended up in a committed relationship with a Canadian woman who was looking for a quote-unquote nice log, and you just voluntarily threw yourself right in there. Miles really set you up. As a fan of the show, mm-hmm. I just wanted to close the loop. Whatever happened with the Canadian woman, who I believe was recently single. She was on a date to a Canadian sex show and got stood up there and then kind of fell right into your lap.
Yeah.
So it seems like a great catch. Are you there? Are you single right now? We can dive right in.
We never got there. She and I, you know, so that's just kind of how it goes, you know. Unfortunately, yeah, Miles did really throw me under the bus there, didn't he?
I thought he was helping you out.
No, he's just he's a jackass.
She seemed like she could have been a good time.
She was a good time, man. I forget her name, but no, we never connected after that. It's a gosh darn shame.
He was probably high on the hot crazy matrix graph.
Oh yeah,
maybe in the fun zone or the danger zone. But if you had to choose a Mount Rushmore of your favorite Wisconsinites, who would it be?
Oh my gosh.
Is there four on Mount Rushmore?
Wow. Yeah. So, that's very interesting. I think Bob Uecker just came to mind. Vince Lombardi, just came to mind. Oh my gosh. There's so many great Wisconsinites. We got Liberace here, you know, we got Les Paul invented the electric guitar. I mean, we need several mounts for the Rushmores, you know? I mean, I just named four there, but there's way more.
Top three supper clubs in Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
If you want to build two mounts, you can go with six.
there's Wentz's Wentz Supper Club up there on Lake Winnebago on the west side of the lake. There's a great, great perch fry there. Old Town in Westby, that's a fantastic spot. I've had dinner there.
Were you just there on your stop?
I did stop in. I was there the last time I went too. I made some old fashions over there. Let's see here. Schultz's over there in Dickeyville, you know, that's not a bad place.
Have you been to Jake's on Lake Tainter?
No, should I?
That's a good one.
Jake's on Lake Tainter. Here we are talking about Tainter again. That's a fantastic lake. It's a great lake.
Bree grew up on that lake.
on Lake Tainter, huh?
Tainter Lake.
What was the best Tainter Lake joke you heard? Nobody was joking about that. Come on. I guess you say it enough. It's like, yeah, Tainter Lake.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for tuning into Milwaukee Uncut. Before we get to more questions with Charlie, I just wanted to take a second to thank our sponsor, Central Standard Distillery. Charlie and I definitely enjoyed their product during this recording. So if you are looking for some amazing cocktails during this holiday season, make sure to go with Central Standard. One more quick announcement. A couple weeks ago, I got roped into a charity donut eating contest with my partner, Joe Stanton from Three Leaf Partners, to raise money for the United Way of Milwaukee and Waukesha. And we're auctioning off some good items, one including being part of the live audience on this podcast for when Pat Connaughton comes back on. We're also giving away a Bucks VIP package. I'm giving away some rounds to Blue Mountain Country Club. And we've got a Calves and Abs workout led by Matthew Holbrook for you and your friends if you're looking to get shredded for spring break 24. So a lot of good items. That is linked in the show notes if you want to bid on any. Okay, that's all I've got for right now. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's get back to the show with Charlie Behrens. Yeah. All right, we got a good next question from Katie Leinenkugel.
Oh, Katie, she's great.
She is great. We're about to find out how great she is. She asked, favorite Leinenkugel, human, not beer.
Oh, okay. You know, oh, God. Katie's it. There you have it.
There you go.
And that's going to be really bad news with her sister. It's going to be bad news with Dick, you know, but she asked the question, so I'm going to give it to her.
What about...
I can't play that one politically. The lining, by the way, that whole family is a blast, man. I did a show up in Eagle River, and they have a place there, and we had a fish fry before one of the shows. A lot of lineys there. I might have been a little loose on the tongue during that show because they insisted on knocking a couple back.
Yeah, they're professionals.
They are.
You drink with them, it's hard to keep up.
You can't.
It's just
even
in
hang.
Their blood.
Can't even hang.
We'll give an honorable mention to Tony and Dick.
Tony, John, and, Dick, the know, whole deal, yeah.
I might push back. I think if you're looking for a favorite Leinenkugel in like a quick sprint, maybe not the whole day, but just, you know, an hour kind of, I'd probably have to go with John Leinenkugel.
Yeah,
the guy's
John,
just an absolute machine of
John,
a human being.
He is. He was in one of our videos. He's a fun dude.
Okay. This is a good question. So, this one's from P. Fett, Stephanie Fett, and Michael Shepard, who is known as Sim God because he put a very expensive golf simulator in his house.
Okay.
They're hosting a Packers pot roast, and we're wondering how to throw the best Packers party possible. I'll just add a little more context. So, I mean, this guy's gone all out. He has like a putting green in the back, hot tub, balcony, projector screen, and Bree and I were at their Cinco de Drinco party, and they had a pinata, and they had some kids around, and Sim God picked me up and spun me around. He had a stint with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and didn't quite make it, and then played for the Omaha Beef for a while in the AFL, but Sim God spun me around, and I knocked the pinata over, and there were some kids around, and candy poured out, some condoms, some Jack Daniels shots.
God.
So, I mean, I don't know if they bought the wrong pinata, but then I got cracked in the head with an egg by this guy named Joe Vilmo, and he said it was good luck in Mexico, even though he's not Mexican. And so just to add some context, so we're dealing with P. Fett and Sim God throwing a Packers pot roast, and maybe some advice contextual to them, and then for maybe the average human being just looking to have some people over for a low-key pot roast.
You know? Yeah.
What are some necessities?
Well, I mean, you got to have enough food for everyone. Even though everyone's going to call you and insist they bring something, you're going to say, oh, no, just bring yourself, you know. And usually they'll bring excess food. So you got to have enough, you know, Cool Whip containers to bring leftovers, you know, and the Ziploc bags, you know, that you got going there. Those can be reused, by the way. So you just wash them out and then you can send someone home with leftovers. So start stocking up on those now. And yeah, you know, also be prepared for a lot of Midwest goodbyes. You know, if you want people out of your house at a certain time, yeah, know where your fire alarm is and set that sucker off. That's going to be the only way you'll get people without staying over there. Let's see here. Beyond that, yeah, if you want to get rid of any meats you got in your chest freezer, you know, make sure you insist they take them home with you, like meet them in the driveway. You know, kind of get into their door when it's window down, have them roll the window down, then lean in there and hand them the stuff. And so it's super awkward for them to not take it. You know, that's a good way to unload some maybe older moose you have in your chest freezer. So there's a lot of different, I could go on and on with that one, man.
Yeah, I don't know if SimGod's got any moose over there, but...
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, maybe don't pick people up at your deal because some might get cracked in the head, you know? Don't put condoms in your pinata when there are kids there. You know, there are some simple ones from that standpoint, too.
You would think, just kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
And an athlete. I'm 200 pounds. He just...
I mean, that's impressive.
With ease. Speaking of Midwest goodbye, what is the best way to just get out of an event, just kind of avoid the Midwest goodbye?
Oh, Irish goodbye is the best way to do it. Just leave. You know, that takes a lot, though. You're going to feel guilty. Just power through the guilt, and soon enough, you'll forget you felt guilty, and then that'll be the only move you ever do.
I like that. Oh, this is interesting. Jordan Kearns, what's the most Wisconsin marriage proposal you have ever heard of?
Oh, there's a few. I was actually at this bar in Menominee. Somewhere up at Chippewa Falls. It was in Chippewa Falls. And I was just sitting there at the bar talking with some buddies, and I see this guy get down on his knees, spills popcorn on himself as he's doing. And then just proposes right there, you know. And she didn't even get up. She was like, oh my gosh, yes, you know. And then he sat back down, and I was like, all right, I'll buy them a drink, you know.
Did the bar go crazy, or was it just a guy spilling his popcorn and the girl was like, okay, let's do this?
Basically, no one noticed. Yeah, it was like the bar was just, I was like, I think I just witnessed a proposal, you know. Although some people do that as a joke, and then they get some free drinks.
That's kind of low. A little unethical.
I'm
maybe.
Not bringing it up that it's a good thing to do. I'm no. thinking maybe that's what they did, but nobody noticed. So it's a bummer.
Except you, apparently. Any other good ones?
Quick Trip's a solid place to get engaged. Fleet Farm is not a bad way to do it. You know, you get yourself over there in the bolt aisle, you know, and then you get down on a hand and knee, and you bring a few different bolts with you, and then you say, will you marry me? You know, she says yes, and then you put the bolt on her finger, you know, and if that doesn't fit, you use a different bolt, and then, you know, you finally get the right bolt, and it's like, okay, there you go. You want that in tungsten, or you want it in, you know, just stainless steel, or should we go copper fitting, you know? I don't recommend that if you're actually trying to spend the rest of your life with that person. But
probably not, but it can work in Wisconsin in certain places.
It could.
Apparently. Nate Moody, currently finishing up he's at Marquette High grad, currently finishing up his last semester at Marquette, and is, I think, bartending or bouncing at Deer Camp down in the on 3rd Street. Nate Moody was wondering about your Marquette High experience.
Oh, yeah? Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was very lucky to go to that school. It's a very good school. What was my experience like? Honestly, I was just trying to play music at that time, so I wasn't very focused. I wasn't a guy who really, you know, fell in love with that school and did all the things. You know, I was kind of like a bit of an outsider, I think, there. I was just trying to write and do music and stuff. That's kind of how I spent my time. But I don't have any... I did the newspaper there. I did that. I was actually the editor-in-chief of that, believe it or not. And then, you know, there's this great teacher there when I was there, great guy, Jim Carney. And actually, he really put in me a really good sense of how to tell a story. He had this class called American Hero, and his book Hero with a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell. It's all about the cosmogonic cycle and the hero cycle, you know. So all Western storytelling kind of is based on that. Star Wars, George Lucas basically read Joseph Campbell and made a book to the T to what that book talks about in the hero's journey. You know, so I think that's probably one of the most influential things that happened to me there.
Very cool. I think Nate could probably use some advice on how to finish up strong on his last semester of college. I think he's currently single, working down on Third Street. Any advice to Nate to go out strong? I think that's what he was really
asking. You're talking about Marquette University?
He went to Marquette High. Now he's at Marquette University.
I see.
You answered the first question correctly. Gotcha. I just want to throw in this extra part for the guy.
You know, I mean, hey, just enjoy it, I think. Because, you know, everyone's trying to cram so much in and it's tough. And, you know, you're kind of sad that you're leaving school sometimes, but there's a lot of great things ahead. And just take it one beer at a time, you know, and try to pass.
Yeah, I feel like you need to have your bases covered.
Yeah.
Pass your classes. Maybe take care of yourself a little bit. But other than that, just really enjoy it and soak it in.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Nate Moody. Devin Granger, who does all the content for Pat Connaughton. Shout out to Devin.
Yeah.
Favorite brand deal you've done and why?
Oh, I mean, it's tough to pick.
You work with a lot of good ones.
I do. I mean, Quick Trip, Fleet Farm. There's a lot of stuff that I just use in general. But I think probably my favorite has been, you know, I working with the Packers, and we did this one during COVID, which was called Missing Lambo. And it was no one could go there, obviously, with COVID. So we did this video called Missing Lambo, which is probably one of my favorite ones we made. It's just the sadness of not being able to go in the stadium. I'm not going to describe it very well, but that was a very fun video.
Very cool. Joe Arado from the Locations Unknown podcast, which has really taken off. He was wondering, would you agree to an MMA match against Milverine?
No, that dude's ripped, man. No, not at all. Does he
You're
do MMA?
You're looking pretty good. I see some roadmaps over there.
Thank you. No, I know how to fight. I've done some of that in my past, but I wouldn't say, like, if somebody really knows how to fight, they're going to kick my ass, you know? But if we're like, if I'm walking in the street with somebody else or something and somebody like, you know, jumps or whatever, I would be able to fight long enough for that other person to get away. That's about how good I am at that, which is not very good. But, I'm not going to win that fight, especially if he knows how to fight.
Yeah, Milverine, just on intimidation alone.
I mean, the guy's jacked and...
He's a Milverine.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who knows how to do more than I do.
Favorite city or town to visit in the Midwest? Let's do one in Wisconsin and one outside of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I always like going to Fond du Lac. That's where my Grandma Sue is, you know, so I enjoy going there and hanging out. Fondy, yeah, that's good. And then outside of the Midwest,
outside of Wisconsin,
or outside of Wisconsin, let's see here. Oh, the UP, man, they got some great stuff going up there city wise. Let's see here. Iron River is pretty cool. You know, they've got some good whitewater rafting, up there, believe it or not. I'm trying to think of the city that's in. Dang, I forget. Right, I have a bad memory.
The city of the UP.
I'm trying to think of the city in the UP where we stopped and we did that, but I'm not going to think about it. But there's a lot of great cities up there, man. Jeez. Minneapolis is fun, you know? That's a good town.
That is a fun city.
But that's not a small town.
That's all right.
Bemidji, Minnesota is pretty cool. They got a great state park there.
I know someone who's from there.
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful. I went there in winter.
It's just straight north of Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Maybe a little west of that. I don't know. I'd have to look at a map.
Okay. Jack from Tosa.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering, any advice on meeting a cougar in Milwaukee?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. I mean, what's that one? Victor's, isn't that? or Victor's, that's a cougar
Victims.
Bar.
Victims.
Yeah, I know. Oof. There's another one. I you know what?
Oh, man.
I don't know that I even get out enough to.
Any
to
overarching
that.
Advice for Jack? For maybe from back in the day when you used to go out
For cougars? Yeah. I don't. You come, you know, come to one of my shows. You know, we got a lot of good looking gals there.
Nice
you
plug.
Know? Yeah, come to one of my shows. Tickets at charliebarons.com. No, I'm just kidding. Where to go? I don't know, man. I don't know. Where do you go?
I don't know. Maybe a nice hotel bar?
Yeah, that's maybe. True. Good point. Yeah, go up to the
convention season's in the fall, maybe.
Yeah.
for Jack?
Yeah, go to the Pfister's. What's the name of that rooftop bar?
Blue.
Blue, that's it.
Blue. The Pfister.
Yeah.
The Trade just went in. Maybe that's a good one.
The lobby of Northwestern Mutual. I don't know.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
just stand there with a sign. I don't know.
Yeah, Lifetime Fitness probably. You know, in Brookfield. That's not a bar, but
it's
you know.
Funny you bring that up. A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, I think that's where you get
solid talent at Lifetime Fitness for Jack and Tosa.
Yeah,
Victims. I hadn't been there. Have not been there in a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Alex Main, former employee here, good guy, great man bun. Favorite skit you've ever done?
That's always such a tough one. Yeah, I don't know. The one that's coming to mind right now is when I played a cow and Miles played a deer. That was just one of those weird ones where just very random last minute. We improvised a lot of it, but it was just cow meets deer, you know, and we dressed up as a cow and a deer and just whatever. It was super hot and I was in an inflatable cow and Miles was in this big old deer thing. We were both just sweating terribly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one that comes to mind.
Boston John would love a question. This isn't really a question, but he messaged in, would love a Boston question as he has been elevating Billy Deuce from Boston on his comedy tours and videos.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. So what is his question?
He didn't have one. He just said he loves that you're doing it. Any comments on Billy Deuce,
Billy Deuce, or just
the city of Boston in general?
Bill is a great guy. That's at BillyDeuce86 on the social medias. Make sure you follow him. He's been in a lot of my videos. He's a very, very funny fella. Yeah, definitely check him out. He does a lot of music too. He's going to have some more parody stuff coming out.
Yeah, Boston John, just a good guy. A couple weeks ago, took down probably 10, 12 IPAs. Didn't even feel a thing. Just
you know, they know how to drink out there too. That's for sure. They're a bit of a different breed. You know, it's a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences.
Yeah. He's just a very jolly masshole. Good guy to be around, but you know, the masshole comes out.
Comes out. Yeah.
All right, you ready for some Wisconsin trivia?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Okay, I got 10 questions for you. What is the official state beverage of Wisconsin?
Brandy. Brandy old fashioned.
According to Google, it's milk, but I'll accept that answer. Official dance of Wisconsin.
Polka?
Correct. True or false, Wisconsin is home to the world's largest six-pack of beer?
True. If you need a beer, go here. It's in La Crosse, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah.
What city is known as the bratwurst capital of the world?
Sheboygan.
Correct. If Wisconsin were its own country, where would it rank in cheese production?
Number one.
Number four.
That's bullshit. False.
According to...
Who? According to who?
According to the internet.
No, it's probably true, but that's still pretty impressive, man.
It is behind the rest of the United States, which would be one.
That's hilarious.
Germany and France.
Wow.
Produce more cheese than Wisconsin, according to the internet.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Who's the leading scorer in Packers history?
Mason Crosby.
Correct. Interception leader in Packers history.
I want to say Leroy Butler. No, who is it?
Similar era, maybe right after Leroy.
Oh, Charles Woodson?
Correct.
Got it.
Charles Woodson. All right. It's a big one. Who was the one quarterback, or I think it was the one quarterback. Anyway, one of the quarterbacks, may have only been one, who shared the quarterback room with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers during the overlap year. Some hints. He's from Louisiana. He has career stats of 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a 123 passer rating.
God, I don't even know. No clue.
Craig Knoll.
Oh, see, I still wouldn't have gotten it, but if I had multiple choice.
Do you know who Craig Knoll is?
Yeah.
I played golf with Craig Knoll once.
Did you?
In an outing. And we got into a playoff to win the outing. And Craig was probably 10 Miller Lights and 5 vodka shots deep on a Monday for it.
Good for him.
And he goes back in and grabs 2 Miller Lights for the one hole playoff.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Craig, you're grabbing 2 beers for one hole. And he looked at me like I was just an absolute idiot. And he said, yeah, one's for drinking, one's for sipping. And then just drove off. So I'm a huge Knoll fan and wanted to work Craig Knoll into the podcast.
I love that.
Shout out to Craig. I think he's in Dallas right now and hopefully doing great.
Nice.
Last question on trivia. How fast can a red-breasted merganser fly?
I'm glad you asked. I know it's very fast shit. I wish I want to say it's something like 40 or either 45 or 65 miles an hour. 75? 100 miles an hour?
81.
Shoot. I should have known that. I do thank you for that fact because I love red-breasted mergansers. I should have known that. I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed.
Oh, where the? I think you got 7 out of 10.
Hell yeah.
That's a good
rock
C.
And roll. Yeah, see, it's a pass.
There were some tough ones on there.
There were.
All right, final question I have. Why do you choose to live in Milwaukee, and did you always want to come back here?
I love Milwaukee. No, I mean, I've lived all over the country, and I just like that we have fresh water here. That's a big win for starters, but also I love Wisconsin. There's great fishing. There's great hunting, great hiking, camping, all that stuff we got right here, and, you know, good bars, you know, and my family's close too. They're like, I shouldn't have made them like 20th on that list I just put there, but no, I love Milwaukee, man. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Seems like you got a good family. I watched some of the sisters' Cripecasts.
Yeah, they're a bunch of BSers, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take anything they say serious.
Oh, all right. Well, it was great seeing you today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Milwaukee Uncut with Charlie Behrens, produced by Storymark Studios, sponsored by Central Standard, and in partnership with On Milwaukee. If you are not already subscribed, make sure to do so. We've got a lot of great episodes coming up, including the Milverine, dating advice to Milwaukee men with a plethora of people. And then we got world-renowned Dr. Raymond Pryor, who works with some of the top performers in the world, coming on for a series in early January when everyone's in self-improvement mode. You're not going to want to miss those episodes and a lot more good ones. So make sure to subscribe if you're not already. And please share the show to family and friends who you think would enjoy this episode with Charlie. We really appreciate any support, whether it's sharing, writing, or review. Subscribing means a lot to us. Thanks again for tuning in.